welcome the next President of the United States, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Unbelievable. Thank you. So incredible. So incredible. What an amazing event. Every night, you know, last night we were in Baton Rouge. We broke a record held for many years by Elton John, my friend Elton John. We had 12,000 and 4,000 or 5,000 outside. Tonight we have, I guess, much more than that, and we have thousands of people outside. So something's happening. Something's happening. Unbelievable. There goes the record right there, folks. Unbelievable. I just want to thank everybody. You know what it's become? This is a movement. This isn't just a normal situation. And this is a movement. And I wish the press would show the stadium, but they don't do that. You know, they don't do that. But the people know. No, they don't do it. They never, ever do it. You know, you go home. Even last night, we set a record. And one of the reporters actually called and apologized because they refused to write the real number. And they actually called and apologized. I won't say who, because actually the person is not a bad person. Look at the people. I mean, do you believe this? So we're doing well. We just left, as you know, New Hampshire. Those people are amazing people also. And they were saying, do you think Trump can do it? Do you think he can do it? You know, we won every single category in New Hampshire, every. We won young, we won old, we young. I mean, think of it. Women, men, we won everything. We won everything. One of the commentators said, really, it's not fair. They've never seen anything like this. And I sort of knew it was going to happen, but you never really know until you get in there, right? You never really know. And they were saying, Trump gets the biggest crowds by far. Do you think that translates, right? They said, but that might not translate into the voting booth. Now, today, people started lining up 7 hours ago. I assume it was these people, right? These people. See, what they don't know is they may be the best, I can't say seats, they may be the best stands because everyone's standing. We couldn't get the, but wait, what they don't know, they may be the best location, but these people are all going to be famous. They're going to be famous. See? You're all on television, so smile and have a good time. So, I mean, personally, if it was up to me, now you waited, what, 7, 8 hours? If it was up to me, it was up to me. I think I might rather be there. I want to be famous right there. Now, you know what? We all have good seats. Place is amazing. Thank you. So, it's the way it is. This is the way it is. It started on June 16th. I announced I was going to run. All of these people said, oh, he's not going to run. He's not going to run. Why would he do that? He just wants to have fun. He's not going to run. He'll never do it. And then I signed Form A. That's where you sign your life away. So I announced I was going to run. I signed Form A. And then they said, well, I mean, he signed Form A. They can't believe it. Then they said, well, he'll never put in his financials because maybe he's not as successful as he's supposed to be. And it turned out that the financials are much more successful than anybody ever thought. It's true. I'm a private. True. In fact, if I didn't run, I would have put my financials in anyway, because, you know, nobody knows. It's private. Some of the great jobs anywhere, including Doral in Miami, you know Doral, and Turnberry and many buildings all over the place, the Bank of America, but so many buildings. And I put it in. And I, you know, honestly, when I talk about it, it's a little embarrassing, but it's so good, almost 100 pages long, ahead of schedule. Even these politicians, they have like one page and they're 45 days late. I put it in, I said to the accountants, you've got to do it on time. I always say on time and under budget, right? Like the state, on time, under budget. And we put it in. And they went back. Look at the number of this. Look at the media back there. Is this crazy? Is this crazy? And they went down there to the federal elections, and they went down, and it was like feeding, because they wanted to say, oh, maybe he's not great. Maybe it's not good. Maybe it's terrible. And they saw the best numbers, and they saw the best places, very little debt, tremendous cash flow, great company. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying that's the kind of thinking our country needs. We owe $19 trillion. Whatever the hell is up there, it's what we need. Because we are in serious, serious trouble. And, you know, I say it a lot. Our country doesn't win anymore. And I have another way of saying, I said something, we don't win anymore, right? We don't win anymore. We lose all the time. But it doesn't sound as good. Our country doesn't win anymore. We don't win. We don't win with the military. ISIS. Look, ISIS. And do we love the military? We love the military. We love the military. And the military is being treated badly. And I'll tell you who's really being treated badly, our vets. And we're going to change that. Do you know, a statistic came out today that's almost, it's hard to believe. I said, you mean a year? You mean a year? They said, no, it's a day. I said, that's not possible. You mean a year. 22 veterans, because care is so bad, 22 veterans commit suicide in one day. Can you believe that? Who would think that's possible? I said, you mean a week, you mean a month, you mean a year. 22 a day. They can't get treated. They can't get service. They wait for 4, 5, 6 days in a waiting room. Can you imagine you go to a doctor, and if my doctor's 2 minutes late, I go crazy, right? I'm screaming at him. Can you imagine you wait in a waiting room for 4, 5, 6 days, and at the end of that, you don't even get service? A lot of times they're leaving, they're going on vacation. We're going to take care of our vets, our great people. We're going to take care of our vets. And you know, recently, a very nice woman, Nikki Haley, she came out and she made the statement, she followed Obama. And she started talking about anger, and she was referring to me, because this is like such a big movement. Last week, the cover of Time magazine, an incredible story written by somebody who is a real writer, a really talented person in the media. You don't say that often. This person, and you know, it's amazing, I never spoke to him. I should do better. Maybe I should never speak to these people. It was the best story. And it talked about, this is a modern day phenomena. And it really is. No matter where we go, this is packed. Thousands and thousands of people outside. We have screens set up for them outside. We have thousands of people outside. You'd rather be here, right? Right? But she was saying that there's anger. There's anger. And when she said it, there was anger in her voice. And she was barraged. She was barraged by thousands of people. And they were angry because she was making it sound like anger is a bad thing. And anger isn't a bad thing. We're angry because we're run incompetently by incompetent people. We're run incompetently. And you know what? I know the people in this room. And whether you go to Mobile, we had in Mobile, Alabama, 35,000 people. We have crowds scheduled that are beyond belief. In New Hampshire, we were setting every record. No matter where we go, we set every record. This is a record tonight. You can see it. Look. 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 Every single corner of the room. Now, if there's one empty chair, and I've seen it, if there's one empty chair, the press will put it on that chair. True. No, it's true. And look at the size of this place. This is a big place. And the one reason I love protesters, and I tell you, look, there's Donald Trump right over there. Look at this guy. Look. Look. There's another one. They're all over the place. Look at this guy. Look at that guy. One of the reasons I love protesters, the only way we get the cameras to turn off my face, because people have no idea how big our crowds are. They have no idea. They don't realize that we have these 15 and 20,000 seat stadiums that are packed right to the corners. All you have to do is look at the corners. They don't say that you have 5,000 people outside trying to get in. Thank you, darling. I feel the same way. Thank you. And it's incredible. You know, a friend of mine, he's a very, very powerful guy, very smart guy, great businessman. And we're going to use people like this to negotiate, by the way, with Mexico and China and Japan. We have people that are political hacks. And he said to me, how the hell do you do that? He watched the other night on television. We had a place. It was amazing, the crowd. And he watched. He said, Donald, and this is a man who's one of the most successful people. He said, how do you do it? How do you get up and speak in front of that many people? I said, that's nothing. Look at all the cameras back there. 230 reporters, 230 press. He said, how do you do it? I said, you know what? There is such, and this is, I swear this is true. There is such love in the room. It's easy. Does that make sense? It's easy. There's love. There is love, no matter where we go. And I'm the messenger. You know, I'm like a messenger. I don't consider it me. I think our message is right. A lot of people said nobody else has the message that we have. And basically, it's we're going to win again. We're not going to take this stuff. I mean, we're going to win again. We're going to start winning with our military. We're going to win with health care. We're going to terminate Obamacare. We're going to terminate it. We're going to replace it. We're going to get rid of Common Core, which is a total disaster. It's a disaster. We're going to educate our children locally, locally, with love. You're going to educate our children locally, not out of Washington, with the bureaucrats. We're going to protect our Second Amendment. We're going to protect it. I mean, you look at what happened. Look at what happened between Paris, where they have the toughest gun laws in the world. Oh, they're so smart. They've got these tough, tough gun laws. You can't have a gun in Paris. You can't have a gun in France. The only people that have the guns are the bad guys, right? They have the guns, right? So they go in different places and they kill 130 people. By the way, many more to follow. So many people so gravely wounded. And they go in and the bullets are all going in one direction. And if a few people, and I say it, sometimes I look in the audience, that guy right there, and I'll pick one beautiful woman right here. But if we had some guns strapped right onto the waist, believe me, if we had a gun strapped onto the ankle where you had some bullets going in the opposite way, I'd pick her too. It would have been a whole different story, folks. How about the military base a year ago We had five soldiers, great soldiers, gun-free zone, right? Gun-free zone. One of the soldiers was a world-class marksman. Nobody better with guns and weapons than this man. Won all the awards. The other four, great soldiers. Is wacko, walks in, shoots them all, kills them. They never had a chance. Their guns are 400 yards away, locked up. Gun-free zone. You know, when you say gun-free zone, that's like candy for a baby. The sickos, they go into those areas. That's candy for a baby. We get rid of our gun-free zones, believe me. Believe me. So, we're going to have strong borders. You know, one of the reasons I won in New Hampshire is they have a huge problem in New Hampshire. Build the wall. Oh, they will. Build that wall. 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 You know, do we have fun considering the subject matter stinks? We're talking about all these problems, but here's why we're having fun. Because it's actually a message of great optimism. You know, make America great again, that's optimism. Some people said, oh, such negativity. It's just the opposite. We're going to fix things up. We're going to make this country better than it's ever been before. We have to start, but this is a message of optimism. A lot of optimism. I don't see any negativity to it. I mean, it's got problems. We have big problems. The $19 trillion going to $21 trillion in debt. People don't even know what $21 trillion is. They don't even know. Smart people, people that do business, they figure, let's see, how many hundred million are in a trillion? They don't even know. That's how much money it is. Now, I was on another subject, and these guys started holding up the wall. I'll tell you what. The politicians that I'm dealing with, oh, and you see the negative ads now? All phony ads. Those ads are paid for by the lobbyists that are all supporting them. I'm self-funding. I'm doing my own money. Those ads, they have them on eminent domain. They have them on all sorts of stuff. Eminent domain. You don't have eminent domain. You don't have roads. You don't have highways. You don't have anything. And by the way, you should be so lucky to get hit with eminent domain because you make a fortune. They pay you to take the property. You make a fortune. But they have ads on eminent domain. They have all this stuff. They have ads on, I'll give you an example. All of the, Jeb. Sleep. He's asleep at the wheel, folks. No, seriously. Can you imagine Jeb negotiating with China? Can you imagine? Here's a guy. Now, I'm in number one place by a lot. I've spent the least. That's something nice, okay? I mean, I feel guilty about it, so I'm going to spend a lot now, but I feel guilty. But I've spent by far the least. So I've spent the least, and I'm in number one place. Jeb has spent like $140 million. I spent like almost nothing. This guy spent $140 million, and he's down at the bottom of the pack. Is this what we want? And you know, in his own way, he's a vicious guy. You know, he's got that little vicious streak because he's a gutless guy. He's got a vicious streak. He's taking ads, $20 million worth of negative ads on Trump. What the hell did I do to him? $20 million worth of negative ads. And I say, and you know the funny thing? If he didn't, I would never hit him. Let him go and enjoy himself. But he spends $140 million. And other guys, too. They spend a fortune. They're spending money. You wouldn't believe it. It comes out of PACs. And who puts up the money? Special interests. Special interests. Who else? Lobbyists. So let me tell you, sir, and then we're going to get back to your wall, okay? So a friend of mine comes to me the other day, and he says very strongly, doctor, very important doctor, and he says, you know, Donald, it's the most incredible thing. The United States is the largest purchaser of drugs in the world, right? That means you buy cheap. If you do that, you buy cheap. These are drugs. These are drugs to make you better. They're the largest in the world. And you know what happens, Donald? It's incredible. We have a situation where they don't really negotiate. They're not allowed to negotiate. He doesn't understand why. I know why immediately. Because all these guys are getting money from the drug industry. We're not allowed to negotiate. If we negotiated the price of drugs, and what you do is simple. Do a favored nations clause. Whoever pays the lowest cost throughout the world for these drugs, we get that, and I'd say a 10% discount, right? We would save $300 billion a year. Think of it. One simple thing. But we can't negotiate with the drug companies because all these guys that I'm running against and others won't allow that to happen because the drug companies have a big lobby. Now, we have the same thing in the military. We order equipment that we don't want. We have equipment that we do want, and the military guys know what I'm talking about. But that company that makes that equipment doesn't have a strong lobby or doesn't have a strong lobbyist, doesn't have the right people. So they have the right equipment, but they don't use it. So oftentimes, how oftentimes do you hear where they're ordering stuff that nobody wants? Where they're ordering stuff, nobody wants it, right? And I hear it all the time. The reason is, and I'll bet you they're paying much more money than they're supposed to be paying, because these guys, they're not as stupid as you think. It's all done for a reason. It's called campaign contributions, and it is bad. It is bad. So nobody gave me campaign contributions. I have turned down so much money. If I ever took contributions, I guess Jeb raised $148 million. Can you imagine that? Without that, by the way, I mean, he's nothing anyway. He's not going to go anywhere. But without that, without that, he would have failed months ago. It's the only thing he's got. Without that, he would have failed. And then you have others. You have Cruz. Find out where he gets his money. No. Find out, especially the evangelicals, who I love. You know, I'm leading with the evangelicals in the United States. I'm leading. I won in New Hampshire. I won with the evangelicals. We won. So find out. Do you know, yesterday I just heard, you know, we always talk about China and the president gets up, China, our trading partner, our wonderful partner, they take advantage. They copied the F-35 plane, the fighter, right? You know about that. Did you hear about that? You can't tell the difference. You look at it, they copied our plans. And they did more than copy our plans. I guarantee you, they have everything that they need right down, the most complicated mathematical solutions, all done, 100%, stolen off our web. And that's right, Hillary gave it. The guy says Hillary gave it. Yeah, maybe it was stolen from her emails. It was stolen. That's what happened. You know, with Hillary, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting with Hillary and the emails. One thing, I mean, we all send out stuff. I'm not a big believer in emails because I figure once you type, it's no good. But every time I do emails, I get sued, you know. Produce your emails. I go to court and they say, produce your emails. I say, I don't have any. The judges don't even believe it. After you win the case, they say, you know, now I know that you're really smart. One of the smartest guys on Wall Street, I won't use his name, made a fortune with the internet. I say, what do you do with emails? I don't accept emails. I don't do emails. So why? Because every time I do, I get sued. Here's a guy that practically invented it, made a fortune off emails and the internet, and he won't send it. But what I don't understand is, Hillary, when you see 19,000 and then 10,000 and 2,000, how can you do that many? What is she doing? Bang, bang, bang. How many? No, think of it, right? Number one, you say this. Why? Was it so important? Why? You use the government servant. Why do you have to do this? You put it in the bathroom of a house someplace that nobody even knows. What is going on? Why? And then you look at the volume. I mean, who can possibly do that many? I mean, that's like 24 hours a day. Who could do that many? We've released a batch of 22,000 emails. That's like one little batch. So I don't know if Hillary's going to get a chance to win. By the way, I'm beating her in the polls. beating her. No, we'll beat her. Very flawed candidate. I don't know that she runs. I'd love to run against her. I'd also love to run against the communists. I never thought. Sure. I never thought we'd see the day in our country when a communist, because that's really, if you think about it, when a communist is the leading Democrat, we're going to have a communist against an entrepreneur. I like the entrepreneur, right? Don't you think? I love running against her. No, no, I love running against her. Because when the real numbers come out, you know, she's veering so far left in order to try and save it. She's going, she's really left. And it's sad. The whole thing is sad. I watch them. I say, you mean we have this great country? We have this, she what? So I watch this great country. And if that's the best we can do, that's pretty sad when you think of it, right? It's pretty sad. So, we love Florida. I love Florida. I told you the drugstore. I'm going to tell a story that I haven't told in a long time, and I've never really told it to an audience. So I bought Doral. And it's, you know, hundreds of acres right in the middle of Miami, right near the airport. We have the big Doral tournament there, the Cadillac Championship, and it's great. Well, Mar-a-Lago, too. Got a lot of, by the way, I've spent a lot of money in Florida. Nobody else has, I guarantee. Nobody else has. I believe. I have places all over Miami. We've done a lot of jobs with Deser and with Related and a lot of places. And Mar-a-Lago, you know about it. Trumpet. Well, I spent a lot of money here. I love this state. I love this state. But, I've created tremendous numbers of jobs down here. So Doral. So I'll tell you a story. So I buy Doral a few years ago. Market was bad. That's when you like to buy, right? Buy when the market's bad. So I go in, and we sign a contract. Everybody wanted it. Everybody wanted it. We go in, and I sign it, because this is the way the country should run. I'm telling this story not for my help. I'm saying because this is the way the country should be run. So I go in, and it was very competitive. Everybody wanted it. But I was the first one in, and they had to sell it because they had a lot of problems. And I bought it, and I signed contract. You have to have a contract. I signed contract for $170 million, $170, which is very cheap, but it had to be redone. You know, in the meantime, you've seen what we did. I spent a lot of money, made it incredible. It's the best resort in the country. Okay. So, and a lot of people are working there, a lot of good Florida people. A lot of Hispanics are working there. The Hispanics love me. And by the way, today, I just settled with Univision. Isn't that nice? Nice. A very nice settlement. They're happy. I'm happy. It's great. But a lot of Hispanics work for me. I've employed thousands and thousands of Hispanics, even now. But I have, over the years, thousands and thousands of Hispanics, and they're great. They're great. And we have a lot. But so with Doral. So I signed contract for $170 million, right? Now I go in, Jorge Ramos. Well, no, we're going to do an interview with Jorge Ramos. Now I'll do an interview, whoever. I'll do an interview. Ready? So I sign contract, and then I say, hey, now this is, remember, this is what we have to do with China, Japan, Vietnam, which is the new one that's killing us, Mexico, where everyone's moving into Mexico. I just heard Carrier Air Conditioning is moving in now. Nabisco's moving in. United Technologies moving in. Ford's moving, everybody. Hey, by the way, folks, this guy's a, you know, he's my friend, but he's really a pain. He keeps talking. Quiet. He's not a protester, but man, is he noisy. So they're all moving into Mexico. So I buy Doral, 170. We haven't closed yet. And I said to my daughter, Ivanka, has anybody heard of Ivanka? Right? She's great. And I go through it, and it's in really bad shape. You know, I was going to make it brand new, but it's really bad shape. So I go back in. I meet all these guys from the Wharton School, from Harvard. You know, they're all guys, Wall Street guys, because Wall Street had it. And I said, and they're wonderful guys, but I said, fellas, look, I'm not going to pay 170. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. It's too much money. The place is in terrible condition. If I didn't promise that I wouldn't use bad language, I would have used much stronger language. It would have been more interesting, but they don't like it. The place is in lousy condition. I don't like it. I'm not paying it. Said, you've defrauded me. They said, no way. I said, I'll give you 100. They said, no way. I said, I'll give you 100. They said, no way. And I said to Ivanka, watch, this is fun. See, for me, it's fun. It's a game. For John Kerry, it's work, it's labor, it's, okay? Look at the deal he made with Iran. Is that the saddest? No, is that the... But for me, it's fun. I did this just for fun, whether I paid more or less. You know, it didn't really matter. It was a good price. You got it at the right time. So I said, Ivanka, watch. So we go in. We meet these geniuses. I say, you got to cut the price. It's not what you told us it was. I did an inspection. It's in terrible, terrible shape. You got to... No way. They said, no way. We'll make somebody else. I said, you don't understand. I already have a signed contract. It'll take you years to break it. They said, no way. And they needed the money. No way. We're going to do it. Within about 3 minutes, they said, how much would you take? How much would you agree to? I said, I'll give you 110. They said, we can't do that. We can't. Anyway, after about 4 minutes, we agreed to take 20 million off. I paid 100. I got, for 4 minutes work, I saved $20 million. Is that good? And honestly, it's not the story. That's the way we should be doing it with our country, right? You know? I have, and I'm telling you, I have the greatest business, Carl Icahn endorsed me, great businessman. I have the greatest business people in the world. We have them here. And they all want to negotiate. They don't want any money. Right now, we have guys that get their job because they contribute money to these politicians who are crooked as hell. Many, many of them, believe me, are crooked. Many of them are incompetent. But one thing they're genius at is getting reelected. That's all they care about. I mean, not everybody, but for the most part. They want to get reelected. So I tell that story. Then what I did, I got it for the 150. Then I fixed it. It's beautiful. It's open. It's doing great. Okay, that's true. But you want to do that. That's what you want to do. Now, you take the Iran deal. $150 billion we give them. We get nothing. We get nothing. We get zero. We paid $150 billion, and we got our four hostages back. We wouldn't have gotten them back. We basically paid a ransom, and that's a really bad precedent that we set, believe me. We paid a ransom. We get nothing. And the way they abused us during that deal, first of all, it took forever. It took forever to get the deal done. What was it, 3-4 years? We should have had the hostages released before we started negotiating. Right? And then they capture our 10 wonderful sailors. They capture our sailors. They put guns to their heads. They drop them down to their knees. Put your hands up. And you heard the guy with that voice. That was a rough cookie. You want to turn around and smack them. You want to... You saw what happened. You saw what happened. And if they weren't getting the money 2 days later, those sailors would be there forever, unless, of course, I'm elected president. They would have been out before I ever took office. Believe me. Believe me. So I would have said differently with the Iran deal. And I'm using this because this is with all deals. This is with all deals. I would have said, fellas, you got to do this. We're not going to do it. You got to release our people. You don't need them. We don't. I mean, for us, for our people, getting those hostages back is very important. You got to. They're going to say no. Then you leave. You double up the sanctions. Within a couple of days, they'll call back. They'll give you you got your hostages. Then I would have said, just quickly, fellas, we can't pay you the $150 billion. Once those hostages landed, about 2 seconds later, fellas, how you doing? Everything good? Listen, the $150 billion? Sorry, we don't have the money. We owe $19 trillion. We don't have it. We don't have it. We don't have it. We don't have the money. They'll go crazy. A couple of days later, they'll say, let's go. We just saved $150 billion. And by the way, this isn't like maybe. This is 100%. This is 100%. But we have people that don't know what they're doing, like John Kerry, our Secretary of State. We have people that don't know what they're doing. He's not equipped to negotiate. The Persians are great negotiators, okay? Always have been great negotiators. You look at what they did to us. He never once walked. We gave every single point. We have a 24-day inspection period. They have periods where they self-inspect. Can you imagine a nuclear deal and we don't know what's there? We call up with a complaint and they say, we'll call you back tomorrow. We will inspect the area. They call you back tomorrow, self-inspection. and they say, Mr. President, everything's fine. Now, you know Obama calls the head the supreme leader. We won't use the term supreme leader, okay? He says, we've just spoken to the supreme leader. He's not my supreme leader, I'll tell you that much right now. So many deals like that. Sergeant Bergdahl, he's a traitor. Now think of it. He's a dirty, rotten traitor. He left. We lost five or six, probably six. We lost five or six people, young, beautiful people. Young, beautiful people. I watched their parents, young, beautiful people. Five or six. They went out looking for them. They were killed, right? We lost these incredible people. We knew he was a traitor because a general and a colonel was there interviewing the people that he was involved with. They all said he left. So we knew it. We make a deal where we get Bergdahl, a traitor, and they get five of the biggest killers they had that they've coveted for 9 years, and they got back, and now they're back on the battlefield, or soon will be. They want to kill you. They want to kill everybody else in front. So we get Bergdahl. They get five killers. And you know what? We're not negotiating that way anymore, folks. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So the wall, the wall. Everyone loves the wall. Everyone loves it. No, I love the wall. So easy. China, 2,000 years ago, built the Great Wall of China. It's 13,000 miles long. It's massive. They didn't have Caterpillar tractor, by the way. 13,000 miles long. It's a massive wall. It does work. You know, the walls work. Ask Israel. Walls work, believe me. How about Europe? Some of the countries in Europe that weren't suckers to what happened with the migration, like Merkel of Germany, what she did to Germany. And they want to build walls around their own countries now because what's going on in Europe, nobody knows where these people are from. And we all have a big heart. I have a big heart. You build safe zones in Syria to allow millions of people to pour into Europe because their leaders are as stupid as our leaders. And you have to see the crime in Germany now, the crime in Sweden. You saw what happened in Sweden where the people are beginning to revolt. Sweden doesn't have problems. The people are going crazy now. Oh, is that a protester? All right, get him the hell out of here. All right, get out of here. Get him out. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. You have that stuff. What do we really want? I mean, whether you're liberal and Democrat, no matter, what do we really want? We want safety, right? We want health care. We want a good place to live. We want to make a good living. We want jobs. I mean, you'd think if you could talk to a couple of people like that for 10 minutes, they'd be on our side. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's other problems that they have. You know, there's a lot of people. I don't understand it. You see that, and it's amazing. You'll have a room like this where you have 16,000 people, and you have so little protest. You know the amazing part to me, though? You'll have, that was what, one person or two people? So the press in the background, the press tomorrow, headlines, protesters at the Trump meeting, okay? Protesters. So when I started on June 16th, I said, illegal immigration, and I made it a very big thing. And nobody thought, how tough was it, right? The abuse I took from the media was unbelievable, but that was okay. I'm used to it. So the abuse, nobody ever has seen anything like it. And then what happened is people found out I was right. It's unbelievable crime coming through our border. They're hurting us economically, but unbelievable crime. By the way, we want people to come into our country, but they have to come into our country legally, legally, legally. They have to come in legally. So the president of Mexico yesterday, or the ex-president, or whatever, whoever, who cares, he said, we will not even consider paying for the wall. You have to understand, because, okay, you ready? Who's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico!
Who?
Mexico!
100%. 100%. So I get a call from one of the reporters yesterday, and they said, the president of Mexico said they will not, under any circumstances, pay for the wall. They said to me, what is your comment? I said, the wall just got 10 feet higher. It's true. It's true. We, not me, we are so tired of being pushed around by these other countries like we're a bunch of dummies. Not gonna happen anymore, okay? Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. We have a situation where we lose so much money on trade, and we lose so much money. You look at the trade deficit that we have with Mexico. So these characters that were on the stage started off with 17, now you're down to whatever, 7, 8, what difference does it make? They're going down fast, right? They're going down fast. And who won the last debate, please? Who won? Actually, you know, the online polls, Drudge, who's an amazing guy, by the way, Drudge. They do these online polls, right? Time Magazine, Slate, I don't know, all these. They do these online polls. Who won the debate? I've won every debate, according to the polls. Now, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But I think I've done well. You know, I've never done this stuff before. I'm a job producer. I'll be the greatest job-producing president that God ever created. That I can tell you. That I can tell you. And we're going to take our jobs back from China, and we're going to take them back from everywhere. We have, you know what? There's so many countries out right now, they have so many countries. We don't make good deals with any of them. We lose with everyone. This new trade deal, Trans-Pacific Partnership, is so bad. And what don't they cover in the deal to any great extent? They don't cover monetary manipulation. They don't cover devaluation. That's the way that we're getting killed, because they're devaluing their currencies, they're killing it, they're making it impossible for our companies to compete. And it's not going to happen. We're going to change it. We're going to have the greatest business people in the world negotiating deals for us, not for me. So, and we have the greatest. And I told you, right now we have political hacks. These Chinese, they're trained from the time they're 3 years old to be killers, and they get, and they take the best, and the best, and the best. It's like a triangle. It's like sports. You end up with the top. That's who we negotiate with. And we have some people that don't even understand the rudiments, the basics of business. This year, we're going to lose $505 billion with China. What the hell is that all about? And when we deal with China and you send something over there, we pay tax. When they send stuff to us, no tax, no problem. And believe me, I have friends that are manufacturers that are great. They can't get their goods into China. But for China, no problem. So we're going to lose $500 billion. We've been losing it for years. We can't do it any longer, folks. It's going to be time where we're not going to be the stupid people anymore. It's not going to happen anymore. Not going to happen anymore. We have so many things. These people come up to me, they say, Donald, you don't really mean we're going to build a wall, do you? And I say, absolutely we're going to build a wall, 100%. They go, well, you don't really mean that. That was like when I first started in June. I said right from the beginning, we're going to build a wall. It's going to be a real wall. See that ceiling up there? I mean, this is a wall that if you get up there, you're not coming down very easy. Right now we have a wall. Do you say they got a little wall and they build ramps? I don't know why they just don't knock over the wall. They build ramps over the wall, up, and there probably is a severe penalty for knocking it, so they just go. They built, no, we don't give severe penalties, right? No, there can't be a severe penalty. You know, we have great border patrol. I was in Laredo, Texas, and I was asked, I was the guest of the border patrol. They called me and they said, "We'd love to see you." Great people. And they want to protect our border, and they can do it. But they're told to stand back, let people come through. It is so horrible. Then Obama signs the executive order, let everyone come in. We've lost control. If we don't have a border, we don't have a country, folks. We don't have a country. So these guys that I'm with, nice guys, some of them are nice, some of them aren't, but what, I don't care. And they say to me, what do you mean with a wall? How are you going to build a wall? Do you know how simple it was? Do you know, 15 years ago, they wanted to build a wall. They couldn't build it because they couldn't get the environmental impact statement approved. Can you believe it? They have toads, they have snakes, they have all sorts of things. They couldn't get an environment. Can you believe this? Well, I've been saying bomb the oil, right? Over, I've been saying bomb the oil. For 4 years, I've been saying bomb the oil. And now finally, it took Paris. And who was the first one to bomb the oil? The French. Can you believe that one? The French. The French bombed the oil. But I've been saying for years, bomb the oil, right? And what happens? They don't do it. And one of the reasons they don't want to do it, because Obama feels that if you bomb the oil, there are going to be things, carcinogens, going up into the air. So Obama doesn't want to bomb the oil because he thinks it's bad for the environment. This is true. Can you believe this? Why do you think General George Patton or General Douglas MacArthur, our great modern-day generals, what do you think they would have said, bomb the oil? They would have bombed a hell of a lot more than the oil, I'll tell you right now. And you have to get points for vision. I'm the only one on the dais that can say this. I said, don't go into Iraq. I'm the most militaristic person in this room, except for that guy right there. He probably beats me. He looks like Sir. I'm the most militaristic person in this room. Believe me. We're going to build our military so big, so strong. We are going to be, nobody's going to play with us. Nobody's going to mess with us. We're going to have the best equipment. I'm the most, but you have to know, I don't want to use it. I think by making it stronger, we're never going to have to use it. I actually think it's the safest thing we can do, and it's the cheapest thing we can do. But, right? I think it's the cheapest thing we can do. So when we have a situation like that, we have to be prepared to go. Our military is not prepared. When General Ordiano left, he was on one of the shows. Our generals were on all these shows. I never saw, did you ever see so many people on shows? Our generals. But he said, we are the least prepared than we've ever been. I think he said ever. You can check it. But he said at least for like many years. But I actually think he said our preparedness. And this is when we need, with all these maniacs coming in, when we want to take people from the migration line, we have no idea who they are. We have absolutely no idea. They have no paperwork. There is absolutely no way we can ever tell. And I'll tell you, folks, we're not taking them. And if we do take them from somebody else, we're sending them back because we have no choice. We have no choice. We have no choice. So we are going to put ourselves in such an unbelievable position. We're going to start making money, and we have to. A woman, I tell this story all the time. It was a few weeks ago. A woman came up. She said, Mr. Trump, I don't like it when you say we're going to make our country rich again. I said, I know, because it's not like politically correct. Everything you have to say nowadays is politically correct. It's disgusting, right? Politically correct. She said, I don't like it when you talk about rich. It's a, well, we have to save Social Security without cutting it like everyone wants to do, cutting, cutting, cutting. We're going to save Medicare because it actually works. We'll get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse. We're going to do things like they used to be done, but we're going to do them even better. I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. I've gotten to know the people of this country. And somebody asked me today, one of the big stations, they asked me today, what's your biggest surprise? And my biggest surprise and my biggest joy is that the people of our country are phenomenal. They're incredible people. They're really smart, really dedicated, and they really love the country, and they want to see it be great again. They want to see it be great again. So The guys come up to me on the wall, the people we're negotiating with, the guys that are getting all of this money from lumber, from, and they say, how do you build a wall? Well, now, the other day, I'm on television, and one of our opponents is on television, and my wife comes up to me, she said, I don't believe it. The guy that I'm running against said, we're going to build a wall. And then yesterday, somebody also said, another one, we're going to build a wall. Where the hell were they? Number one, they don't know how to build a wall. If it's going to be a wall, it's going to cost them 10 times more. You know, the old post office, it's under budget, ahead of schedule. That's the way you have to build. They don't know what to build. They don't know what to do. It'll never get built. But then they come up to me, the new one is, Donald, you know Mexico's never going to pay for it. I say 100%. I say not 98%, not 99%. I said, they're going to pay 100%. Well, how could you get them to pay? I said, because the cost of the wall is peanuts. I haven't even figured out the cost. The cost of the wall is peanuts, absolute peanuts, compared to the kind of money that Mexico is making off the United States. And that's not including all of the drugs that are flowing right through their border. That's not including it. So these guys will never, ever ask. Now, if you talk about that, Mexico has lobbyists, believe it or not. Everybody has a lobbyist. Every person that deals with the United States, they have lobbyists and special interests. So when they come to me, they say, look, lay off Mexico a little bit, you know, come on. They can't do that to me because nobody gave me money and I wouldn't do it. And I'm working for one group of people, and that's this group of people. That's all. One group of people. I'll give you an example. I told you about drugs before. Jeb Bush, who's a total stiff, by the way, a total stiff. Jeb Bush, listen to this, listen to this. The head of his finance committee is a friend of mine. His name is Woody Johnson. He's from Johnson & Johnson. Woody Johnson, Johnson & Johnson, has a hard time with the Jets. Woody Johnson is a good guy. He's the head of his finance committee. So then when you wonder, why is it that the politicians don't put out drugs to competitive bidding, and then you see Woody Johnson works for this guy. When he was governor, we have, what kind of cities do we have in Florida? What kind of cities? Right? We have sanctuary cities in Florida while he was governor. Right after he left, Florida went to hell. I was here, Florida went to hell. And this is what we have. But anyway, so when you have Woody Johnson, now you have other Woody Johnsons, meaning other people in other industries, taking care of all these people. So when they go up and then they say to him, well, you can't do that. These people took good care. Johnson & Johnson put up millions of dollars, the drug industry. You can't do that. They're going to say, oh, you're right. They were very nice to me. They're right. Okay, $300 billion a year down there. When they come up to Trump and they say, you can't do that, I say, I sure as hell can. I sure as hell can. There is so much money that's being wasted. Some people think it's 25 years to balance the budget. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We'll do it fast. Now, here's the thing. We'll do it fast, but we'll have a better country. You'll have better service, not worse. You'll have better service. It'll be a better country. It'll be beautiful. And we're gonna do it, folks. Now, listen, here's what's important. Here's what's important. So you have the big vote coming up very soon, right? Very soon. We have it very soon. You got to do one thing. I don't want any of your money. I don't need your money. What we need, and it's not me. Otherwise, we just wasted our time. Look, the cover of Time magazine many times over the last few weeks. I mean, months. I mean, can you believe it? The last time I walked into my desk last week, and there's a picture of me on the cover of Time. I said, oh, I figured it was a postcard or something. I didn't even know I was on the cover. There it is. There it is. Turn that around. That was such a great... And you know what? I don't talk about the other story. That story was written by somebody that gets it. That story, you read that story from last week. That story, and I don't say that. I don't promote Time magazine. I couldn't care less. That story, they get it. That story was something special. Now, we've all wasted a lot of time. We've all wasted a lot of energy. In my case, I've wasted a lot of money if this doesn't happen. I don't care about the money. But the energy is incredible. No, I think we have a really good chance. You know, when we won New Hampshire, When we won New Hampshire, there were questions like, you know, I talked about the Muslim. We have a tremendous problem. And I said, we have to study it. We have to see. There has to be a ban. Nobody's going to say that. We have problems, folks. We have problems. We got to find out. Radical Islamic terrorism. We have a president who won't even use the term. You can't solve a problem if you're afraid of it. You can't solve a problem if you're not going to even mention the name. So we're going to solve the problems. We're going to make our country so strong. We're going to win again and again. We're going to win so much. But here's what you have to do. You have to go out and vote, or we're wasting our time. The movement ends, and that's the end of it. So, I want to just tell you, and I leave you with this. I love you people. I've been all over. And what I said to my friend is true. I love you people. Get out and vote. We're going to make America great again. We're going to win all the time. We're going to bring our country back. And we're all going to be proud once again to be citizens of this incredible country. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you very much. We love you. Thank you, folks. Thank you.